Because you go there to Hebrews chapter 1, who pointed out that in the Old Testament God gave up, but then the Lord Jesus Christ came here and he has revealed God. We cannot go know God outside of Jesus Christ, cannot know him at all outside of him. And then we dealt with miracles, and then we want tonight to move on, and we want to do with the next one, which is number 6, and that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, that will take all evening tonight and to deal with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've often said this. I say it to myself regularly. The human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills, unless he takes over. Now, there are some ministries about the Holy Spirit that I want you to get tonight. Matter of fact, there are 7 very unique ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I'm thankful for those ministries. Now, the first one is the ministry of regeneration. That's the process of the new birth. You look there in John chapter 3, you may need to turn to it. You don't have to, but in John 3 verse 7, what says, you must what? Be born again. You must be born again. That's the process of the new birth. And I tell you today, there has to be a time when you had a new birth experience. Now, let me be careful tonight, but let me also point out truth tonight. I am often concerned about easy believism. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that I believe there are 3 things that take place in a conversion experience that we all must realize. The first one is the conviction of sin. I'm concerned how we deal with our children. We call that repentance. No person can be saved without repentance. And that comes through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, where he realizes he is a total failure before God. For the wages of sin is death, and he is a sinner by nature, and he needs to repent of his sins. And I have found sometimes that thought is left out of there. And so there has to be the conviction of sin. You could not be saved without that conviction, and that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When I got saved, before I got saved, I was deeply convicted that I needed. There was something in my life, and it was sin. And I hope that happened to you. It has to be able to be saved. Now, that's conviction. Now, if you turn over there to the book of Titus, and I want you to turn over there to Titus, and I want you to go to chapter 3. And here we see 3 things I'm going to give you. I call them the 3 R's of the new birth: repentance, regeneration, and renewing by the Holy Spirit. When you have the conviction of sin, look over there of chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now that's where repentance comes in. Repentance is necessary. Most people I know today believe there's a way to work your way to heaven. You cannot do that. I believe you know that. You have to repent of your sins. And you have to realize that is there. Then notice secondly in the verse, so he starts off with repentance, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy. Now, why do we need mercy? Because we're sinners. And we need to repent of our sins. You understand that there is grace and mercy. Now, grace is, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Hallelujah for that. Isn't that good? And then grace is getting what we don't deserve. We need both of those truths. We need grace. We need mercy. And we see here, so after we deal with repentance, I'm not baptizing tonight, but he's bringing water because I may need it. Okay. We don't baptize that way, do we? Thank you. Now, think with me the second thought here. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy. Why do we need mercy? Because we need to repent of our sins. Then the second thought in that verse here, but saved us by the washing of regeneration. Now that's regeneration, washing of regeneration. Now the word regeneration is to have life again. We lost our life. is called of sinners here, and we find that. And then the third word is found here. So the Holy Spirit, as he works on us, what does he do? He convicts us of sins. That's repentance. Then there is the cleansing from sin. That's regeneration. And then the conversion, which is the renewing. Now, the word renewing here in verse 5, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, the word new, renew, is make new again. Make new again. Isn't it wonderful that God made you a new person? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. And so we see all three of these thoughts here. And so the first thing the Holy Spirit does, that's where it all begins, is regeneration. And then once that regeneration takes place, and there are three or four things that happen at the same time. That's interesting. There are some things that happen at the same time. Regeneration. The second is baptism of the Holy Ghost. I remember when I was searching for God, I never found him, but thank God he found me. I remember going to a church. It was a Pentecostal church, and they tried to get me to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, I wasn't even saved. Praise the Lord, I did get saved. I praise the Lord for that. But then I was, the process here, get this, we have regeneration is the process of the new birth, where there is that repentance, regeneration, and that renewing. Now we're dealing with baptism. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13. I have been asked, since I've been saved many times, have I been baptized with the Holy Ghost? I said, yes, I have been. I got baptized when I got saved. It happens at the same time as regeneration. It happens then. Now, I don't fully understand all that, but I know this. The word baptism, look there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 and 13, and the Holy Ghost did it. For as one body, chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, for as the body is one and hath many members, this is one body here, folks, one body. The church is one body. We've got many members here. Praise the Lord for that. Hope to see more added members to the local church and to the body of Christ. And the members that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now he deals here with verse 13, for by one Spirit, now that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ. You were baptized by the Holy Spirit into his body, and you were literally become part of that body. That is whereas regeneration is the process whereby he converts us, cleanses us, and we go forward. But baptism is placing us into that body. It all happened at the same time. Now, I can't explain. I mean, I don't remember that happening. Do you remember when you got baptized with the Holy Ghost? No, I don't remember that. But I did when I got saved. Placed into the body of Christ by the blessed Spirit of God. And I look over there in verse 12, 13, and 14, seven times I underline, you find the word one body, many times, one Spirit, speaks of unity here. The body always needs to be unified. And thank the Lord for it. We are, and then if you move, think with me, so we are placed into the body by the Spirit of God. Now, we're going to deal with that later, but we all have different gifts. You know what your spiritual gifts are? I hope you do. Somebody told me, he said, mine's gossip. I said, well, that's not a spiritual gift. But I don't know where you are today on this thought, but I want you to know this. Everybody is equal in the local church. Notice there in verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, you may be a foot, you may be a hand, you may be an ear, you have a part of the local body. I'm glad for all the parts that I have. My son was here, and I was riding with him. I had him drive. The reason is he's a better driver than I am. But I sat next to him, and it dawned on me, he can't hear out of his right ear because he had a brain tumor removed. and that took the hearing in his right ear. You can still fly jet planes. You don't do that by hearing. And so he cannot hear. That nerve was gone. And I'm thankful. Have you thought about the fact, and I've got hearing aids. My wife still says I don't listen to her. I can't hear her. So how many of you wives have said to your husband, you can't hear me? Is that, don't raise your hand. We don't need division here tonight. But when I think about the fact that we have here the all equal parts, what can say for walking, I'm more important in your ears. I'm glad I got ears. They're not just for holding glasses on your head. I'm glad I got a nose for smelling. Every part of your physical body is needed. And every part of the body of Christ is needed. Every one of you are absolutely important in the local church. But the Spirit of God does that work. He does the work. So we have regeneration, process whereby he converts us, cleanses us, and concentrates us to him. Then we have baptism. He places us into the body. Now the third one is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now you're in 1 Corinthians, so go to chapter 6 for a moment. Chapter 6, and look there with me in verse 19 and 20. So we have all three of these that I'm mentioning to you right now all happen at the same time. They all happening. There's going to be a fourth one in a minute. These all happened at the same time. Now we have the indwelling. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Let's read it. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now the spirit here in verse 20 is the human spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mentioned in verse 19 called the Holy Ghost. Now he's going to make three important statements here about the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad for his presence. For number one, he indwells us. Look there. We are the temple. Look there, if you will, in verse 19. What? No, you're not. You are the your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in your body. He's there, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, that meditate on that a little bit sometime. Just think with, you know, you think of God in heaven, but God's in you. He's in you. He's in me. God indwells us. So here we notice here, he indwells us. He not only indwells us in this verse, but I notice something else. He instructs us. Notice what he says here. Now, the Corinthian church, I went through the Corinthian letter one time, and I found about 18 to 21, I can't remember, different problems with the church. It was a carnal church. When I lived in California, there was a group of apartments in Southern California called the Corinthians Apartment. I thought to myself, "This I don't know who this fellow is who named these, but I would name my apartments after the Corinthian church. If people had a problem of immorality, of obedience, a division, you name it, that church had it. So Paul had to remind them, hey, folks, you forgot this truth. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I want to instruct you that you have forgotten the fact that he lives in you. And we need to act like he lives in us. We need to do that. And so we see here, he not only indwells us, the temple, but he says, what? Know you not that you... Paul was shocked the way they were living. Shocked the way they were acting. Shocked in the divisions of the church. Shock. Matter of fact, you know why 1 Corinthians 15 was written, the resurrection chapter? Because there were members of that church who did not believe in the resurrection. That's a tragedy, isn't it? You believe in the resurrection tonight? I'm convinced of it. And so we see here we find he indwells us. He instructs. What? No, you're not. Paul is speaking to the Holy Spirit in the Bible, which is God's instructed book, written by the Holy Ghost, to remind us who we are. I'm tired of hearing about people's rights. Can I say this tonight as strongly as I can? You have no rights. You gave them all up at Calvary. And everyone else will give them up when they face the judgment seat of God. They may shake their fists in the face of God and say, I want nothing to do with God now, but I guarantee you one day they will bow the knee. We will all bow the knee to Him, and I'm thankful for that. He not only indwells us in this verse, He not only instructs, what? No, you're not. Let me give you some instructions here. But He also intercedes for us. Notice verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now, you can't glorify God without the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit. Without that. Now leave that for a moment and go to the book of Romans. Just before, go to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. That's called the Holy Spirit chapter of the Bible. And when I go there, I look at verse 26 and verse 27 particularly. He has a long session here. The whole chapter is the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we don't know what we should pray for. The Holy Spirit lays on our heart. I have a prayer time. And this morning I had a prayer time, as I do every morning, spending a length of time with my Lord. And the Holy Spirit instructed me what to say. And He laid on my heart certain people to pray for. Certain situations to pray for. I prayed for our church here early this morning. I hope you pray for our church. Pray for the pulpit committee. Pray for God's will for your new pastor. Get rid of this old man. Somebody younger, has hair, has hearing. Don't laugh at me. Some of you are going to have the same problem you don't already have. And we realize here that we have here this wonderful intercessory. Look here in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth us, for we know not what we should pray for, but the Spirit so maketh what? Intercessions. He intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now get verse 27, because this is a great doctrinal truth. And He that searcheth the heart, now the He here is the Father. It's God. He searches my heart. To know what is the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit who indwells me talks to the Father in heaven about me, lays on those things for me to pray for. Wow, that's a mystery to me. That's a mystery to me. He searches the heart, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, so the God in heaven searches my mind through the Holy Spirit. Find out where I'm at, what I need. He tells the Holy Spirit, now we need to help Him with this problem. That's a wonderful thing. He says, oh, we need to help John Stevens with this problem. He has a problem here. I'm glad about that. He does the same thing for you. The word intercession, again, is found in verse 27. And He searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for He maketh intercession for the saints. According to the will of God. Are you in the will of God tonight? Boy, I know of no better place to be tonight in the will of God. There is no safer place. But I have found in my own life, the closer I get to God, the more the Holy Spirit reminds me of my need of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He just constantly, and then I'm more sensitive to sin. I'm more sensitive to His will. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are you glad for it tonight? You have an indwelling God within you? Now, you're not God, but He indwells you. I know some people act like they're God. You're not God, but God indwells you, and He leads you. So we have Regeneration, the process of the new birth, where he convicts, he cleanses, and he converts us. Baptism, placing us into the body of Christ. Then we have the indwelling, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us, and there's a fourth one. These, all four of these, happen at the same time. I'm glad for that. I'm glad the Holy Spirit said, now he's got saved, now we got to get the Holy Spirit to indwell him. Got to get him. The fourth one, sealing of the Holy Spirit. Look over there to the book of Ephesians. Turn with me to chapter 1, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you read beginning in verse 3 in Ephesians chapter 1, it's divided into three sections. The first one there deals with the sonship. The second one deals with lordship. And the third one deals with ownership. How many persons of the triune Godhead are they? Three. Amen? Now the Father brings about sonship. The Father does. Look there in verse 3. Blessed be the God and what? Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, or literally in the heavenlies. I heard somebody say some people are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. I found the opposite. Most people are so earthly good they're not any heavenly minded. But he wants us to be heavenly minded. And then he goes on through this, and he'll mention in this chapter here, beginning in verse 5, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. The Father has adopted us. We are children of God. That's sonship. And if you could understand the word adoption here, he is treating us as though we're full-grown children of his. Full-grown children of his. Hallelujah for that. He's adopted us. That's the Father. Those first six verses will deal with that. Sonship. Then he deals, secondly, with lordship. Because in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption deals who? The Son. Now, when I make this statement here, please keep it within the proper context. Lordship of Christ. I do not believe in lordship salvation, but I do know the one who saved me wants me to become the Lord of my life. Hello? The Lord of your life is his main objective. That word Lord there has the idea of taking over my life. And he wants to do that, and the Holy Spirit of God, we'll find later, but the Father, sonship, the Lord, lordship. So in verses 7 all the way down to verse 12, he talks about the lordship of Christ. He wants to be Lord of my life. By the way, that's just not an act. That's continual process. He needs to become the Lord of everything I am. I don't know, somebody back there speaking in tongues or whatever it is, but it'll clear up here soon. All right, just kidding. The third one is ownership. Now look there in verse 13 and 14. These are two key. Now we dealt with sonship, lordship, ownership. Over there, if you will, please, in verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, after you believed you were sealed. Notice that, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what's he promised? He's promised that you're going to have a home in heaven. You're saved. My security is in what God has done for me. And I want you to notice here, if you will, please, there. Notice verse 14, who is the earnest? Now, the word earnest, you ever buy a home? Put down what? What do you call that? Earnest money. Now, how many here, I'm going to trick you. You say, preacher, don't do that. I'm going to do it anyway, whether you like it or not. I'm preaching. How many are saved tonight? everybody here tonight. And they're good to be saved. You're ready for this. You are not fully saved. Your spirit is saved. Amen. Your soul is saved, but your body's not. Look there in verse 14, in whom is the earnest of our redemption, the Holy Spirit, in the redemption of the purchased possession, the praise of his glory. Your body, the purchased possession, is still your body. It's not redeemed yet. That's when the rapture takes place. What's God going to do? Give you a brand new body. Wow. Won't wear glasses, won't wear hearing aids, won't have hair. Isn't that great? But more than anything else, we'll be like Jesus. Hallelujah for that. So we see here this sealing. He seals us. That's a guarantee that we're going to go to heaven. Now there is not only the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, placing us, the process of the new birth, baptism, placing us into his body, indwelling his presence into our lives, sealing, which is the promise of the Holy Spirit. He protects us. There's no way I could ever be lost. By the way, I don't want to be lost, because the Holy Spirit assures me of heaven. I look forward to it. Now he deals with the fifth. Now the first four all happen at the same time. But the fifth one is always constantly being filled with the Spirit of God. And in fact, when I get up in the morning, one of the first things I want to do is make sure I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. How many have ever woken up and you're just grumpy? I'm the only, two or three of us? You're lying. How many have ever gotten angry at somebody for no reason at all? Sure. When that happens, the Holy Spirit's not in control. I want to get my place in the morning with him and make sure that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. He has his control of my life and my process of what I'm doing. Now, I want you to notice, go to Ephesians now in the fifth chapter. Because here he deals with the fifth chapter. He deals there with being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what are the... Notice here, give you a note here in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice something. I was raised in a drunkard's home. People were drunk in our home on a regular basis. Now, how could I tell when my stepfather, my mother, my brother, or I was drunk? By the way we talked, by the way we walked, by the things we said, the things we did. Now here's a contrast. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, your talk is different, your walk is different, your activities are different, your thinking process is different. Hello? All those things are different. Isn't that wonderful? And if you're in a bad mood, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Today I had a little challenge with God this morning. Excuse me, God had a challenge with me. I had to get some things right with the Lord. And I felt miserable till I did. You know who the most miserable person is in the world? It's not a non-Christian, an unsaved person. It's the same person who's not filled with the Spirit of God. He's just miserable. I don't like being around him. I don't like being around me when I'm that way. And think with me. So we see over here to be filled with the Spirit. Look there in verse. Now we look here. Verse 8. So be not. Be first he deals with to be filled with the Spirit. Now, as we go down here, we're going to see what it means not to be filled with the Spirit, but to be free of negative thinking. If I'm filled with the Spirit, verse 19 and 20, I'm not negative. I'm not negative. Now this glass, if I get a little, could either be half full or half empty. Some people see life as being what? Half empty. Now notice what he says in verse 19 and 20. So he deals here, the first thing he does after you're filled with the Spirit of God, he points out you're free of negative thinking. Now look there. What do I mean by that? First of all, we're thinking spiritually, and we're thankful spiritually. Thinking and thanking. Look there, if you will, in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart in the Lord. In other words, there's joy. Hallelujah. You got the joy of the Lord. Now, I don't have a very good voice, as you all have heard me say that. And I've only don't get invited to sing in the choir. I don't get invited to sing a solo or in a group. But I can sing in my heart. It's what the words come out here that maybe some of you don't like, but I'll tell you what, I can sing within. I can have the joy of the Lord, and I am thinking spiritual thoughts. Somebody asked me not too long ago, said, well, are you watching the impeachment of Trump? I say about 2 minutes of it. I mean, you know, listen, folks, if you're not careful, you could the news can make you negative. Hello? The news can make you negative. I know our president does. Makes me negative at times. How a man can stand up and talk about God and go to church. The church he belongs to thinks it's wrong to kill babies, but he thinks it's okay. I'd be careful with negative thinking. Then there he says there, speaking to yourselves in psalms and spiritual song, making melody in your heart. So right by that verse, thinking spiritually. Then thanking God for spiritual things. Giving thanks always for what? Now you know what that word all means in the Greek, don't you? It means all. You mean to be thankful for financial problems? Yes, be thankful they're not worse than what they are. Because your God will supply your need. Thankful for that. Give thanks. Give thanks. We're living in a generation where we have even God's people are not thankful. God thankful. I got a wonderful pastor's wife, Nathan and Jenny, wonderful people. Dietrich, pastor of a church not too far from where I live. Jenny's just a beautiful Christian. She has cancer. They may not be able to spare her life. She's so joyous about it all. Nathan knows his young wife may die. But he says, with God's will, I'll see her in heaven. Thankful for all things. Thankful for the years they've been together. I hope we're praying every day that God will keep her here. We need her. But God may decide otherwise. We're praying, amen? Praying. So be thankful, be thinking, be thankful. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you're free of negative thinking. You're not free of negative thinking, but you're faithful to your responsibilities. Now, I'm not going to deal with that tonight. I'm going to wait and get back with this tomorrow. But he's going to list here from verse 21 all the way down to about verse 12 or 13 of chapter 6. He's going to list some things here. You're to be faithful. You're to be faithful as a partner with your spouse. Now, you know, I could spend a lot of time with that one. Now, fellas, you understand that there's a difference between a man and a woman? Duh. I'm not talking about the body. You know, a woman, when she has a problem, a man, he goes to his wife, says, honey, I got this problem. What is his goal? Find it, fix it, and forget it. What's her goal? Explain, expound on it, explain it some more, expound on it some more. She's not looking for a solution. She's looking for communication. Am I right, Ashley? You got that, brother? Yeah. He talks about us being partners. Talks about being parents. He talks about our profession, whatever you are, to be filled with the Spirit of God. I remember when I was about ready to graduate from college, the place where I was working, they came to me and were studying for the ministry, where all what I was doing. And they said, well, why don't you come on our here and you help us out? And I said, well, God's called me a pastor. Well, you're so involved in the work here, we think you must be a liar. I said, I work for the Lord. He's my employer. Hello, he's my employer. And you thought you employed me. It's God employed me here. And wherever you work, God employed you. Well, we're going to deal with that next time. Oh, I love that. I hope you're getting something out of it. I'm just enjoying it, going over it again in my own thoughts and restudying it, rethinking it, how I need the ministry of the Spirit of God. Would you come, brother, and have our prayer time? One more swig of that water. The reason why I normally don't have a glass.